Welcome to the Trevor Turnbull Show, where you'll hear vulnerable, honest stories that will inspire you to embrace your mess and live your best life. Welcome to the show, everyone. My guest is Zach Puchtel. So Zach and I met 8 years ago at an experience in Los Angeles. He's originally from Minnesota. I am from the middle of Canada. We had a lot of commonality there as a couple of, you know, prairie boys that grew up playing sports, learning how to be a man, fighting the resistance of feminine energy, believing that somebody had to lose in order for us to win. And we came together at a time where we just knew that there was something missing from life. We didn't know what it was. We wanted to have more. We wanted to do more. We wanted to, I guess, be more. We didn't realize that at the time. But Zach and I reconnected here after quite a long time of not being connected. I want to say like 6-7 years type thing. For a few years after we first connected, we were in touch, but then there was a good 6 year gap. And there's a reason why we reconnected though. It's because we both actually come into this space where we're leading from a place of doing the inner work as opposed to standing on the mountain and saying, "Hey, everybody, let's go change the world. Follow my lead," you know, like from the perspective of yelling at people as opposed to let me be the example of the change that I want to see in the world. And this was a deep conversation. And I'm finding every single podcast episode that I do now is getting deeper and deeper. We're speaking more into the truth. We're having the quote unquote hard questions asked and truthfully answered too. And Zach is somebody that I remember from 8 years ago as being a big dude, number one, but just an incredible leader of people. And it's been amazing to hear his transformation over the last 8 years and where he's come to right now of really tapping into his inner power and using his gifts of supporting others in creative expression. In his case, he supports people with poetry, essentially, you know, spoken poetry, as well as just creative expression. And, you know, he has a platform that he's building right now that is about really being present in and tapping into the mindful moments, the daily moments. And I just enjoy conversations with people like this. And I know that when I have these kind of conversations, it actually ripples out into the world. And somebody, you possibly, is going to listen to this and go, "I kind of dig what these guys are saying, and I like the vibe of what this feels like, and I want to explore this space further." Even if we don't know exactly what questions we're asking or what we're trying to find, it's just that genuine curiosity, the imagination, the tapping into the playfulness that already exists inside of us. We just need to believe it, detach from expectation, and just become it. So I think you're going to really enjoy this one. Let's go ahead and give it a listen. And here we go. What's going on, Zach, my friend? How you doing? I really enjoyed our last chat. Can't wait to dive in with you again. So good to see you.
Good to see you too, Trevor. You change maker, you revolutionary, you visionary, you man of men.
Well, I appreciate you seeing me for who I am, brother. And I know you and I met at a time, I don't know about you, but for me, it was, I didn't really believe or want, or I always wanted to deflect that kind of stuff, right? But like, I will take that, my friend. I will take that and I will own it.
I appreciate that. Receiving compliments, receiving energy as a man. Interesting subject, right?
Isn't it? I have a feeling we might dive into that a little bit here today, won't we?
We'll probably touch a couple subjects.
Yeah. So we were chatting a moment ago before we hit record about when we actually first connected, and we were kind of joking about it, thinking like, yeah, that was like 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago. But 8 years ago, we met down in Los Angeles, and we were both coming into that space, I think, as people that had achieved certain things in our life to that point and had a certain identity attached to ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I was at a point where I thought, man, there's got to be more. Like, what? How can I have more? How can I get more out of life, from life? And, oh, I tell you, it kind of flipped everything that I believe to be true upside down. And of course, meeting you and all the other people that were involved in that was a moment in my life I can look back and think, like, it's never been the same since. And I'm grateful that I met you, and I'm glad that we connected here again. And I'm looking forward to introducing you to my audience and the conversation that we're going to have here today.
Yeah, me as well. And the container in which we met as this like emotional intelligence training program in Los Angeles in like a La Quinta conference room near LAX was, I still count as one of the three most impactful experiences of my life, next to ayahuasca and Burning Man. And so I'm with you. It was one of those before and after sort of moments. Like, you take this training and you get to see and look at yourself in a way that you've never done before, get really real with yourself. And so we met in this really honest, open, and just safe container for real beingness. And I think from there, like, it was 8 years ago, but like, I still feel like you're my buddy going through the training right next to me right now. It's like you get those real connections with people when you kind of wash away all the surface stuff.
Yeah, the training that is the journey of life and the constant lessons we're learning and the leaning in that we're doing on a daily basis. Hey, it never ends. It never ends. You got to learn to love it. And I'll tell you this actually too, because I knew that we would talk a little bit about this stuff, but I remember one of the days, I can't remember if it was in the first weekend or the second weekend we experienced, but there was an exercise where, without giving away all of the kind of secrets of what this experience is like for anybody that hasn't yet to experience it, but there was an exercise where essentially your presence was felt by the people in that room, or it was not. And there was a reflection of a popsicle stick that was handed over. And the result was you get to go or you don't get to go, essentially, right? You are somebody that will... Exactly, right there. I was just going to ask you, show me the tattoo, man. So that tattoo, I know, had a lot of deep meaning for you. And I remember you got it right away. It wasn't, you know, more than a month after that experience and you had that tattoo. But that was a hugely impactful moment for me, not only in witnessing you really, I think, own your power and who you are meant to be and the leader that you are amongst all the other people of this world. But also for myself, like, I don't know if you knew this, but I was like one or two people outside of that boat. And it was a hugely symbolic moment for me to go, geez, there's a lot of people that look at me as having this this power within, but I don't see it myself. I wasn't actually stepping up yet. And I just, I remember that moment though, thinking like, wow, look at this guy really leaning into owning his truth. And I admired you for that, man. I really did. And I still do to this day. And I love seeing the evolution that you're going through. And that's why I'm excited to introduce people to you, because you have a presence to you that you don't even need to speak. And I think people feel it, which not everybody has that. So... Yeah, I'd love to actually hear you express what that moment was for you and the tattoo ultimately.
Yeah, so the training, without getting into too much detail, was basically an exercise that allowed us to take in the reality of death if it were in the next moment, and to look at our lives in sort of a real base way that let us see how we would be if death were knocking on our door, and how we would shift in our life, and what promises we would make. And of our group, which I think was 103 people, there was basically a voting situation where others voted for others of whether they should live in a situation versus whether they should die. And so there was like a real-time feedback going on between being a participant and everyone else in the group. And so you got to see every single person's reaction to you personally saying you should live or you should die, which is a super powerful thing. And so of the 10 people, I remember I did make the boat, and I remember crying and like having this big emotional sort of release of like, people like me, or like something like that. And then I sank in and I realized that like people were waiting for me to lead, and that it was this like beautiful responsibility that was being gifted to me, and that how I had shown up to the training was this like, I remember I wore different color shoes and I was like, save the world and like world peace. And I was like, I was really like lit up about it. And now since I've kind of taken that inwards towards like healing myself is the true vision. But I showed up to that training big, like a ton of energy. And so I remember getting on it and just remembering that like I am the light and we all are the light. And it's hard sometimes to remember that, but when you're in these group settings and allowed to see and to feel and to get feedback, for me, it was a life-changing moment that everything in my life, from my job to my relationship to my vision, everything changed, like basically in that exercise. And I was like, oh, if I'm going to lead, where am I leading people? You know, in order to be a leader, you have to be a good follower. And like following is kind of easy because you never need to like tread the path and be like, okay, we're going this way. And so I've had some hesitation. I'll just share openly in my life around where am I leading people? And ultimately, like the only place I ever want to lead anybody is into themselves and into their own path, because whatever answers I think I may have, and that's like the trip of it all, is I like leading. I like allowing people the spaces to understand and to experience who they are. But the truth is I can't do anything other than be my own example. And I don't have the power to shift anybody. And there was something, it was a spark plug, that exercise of really letting me see like what it means to lead in the world. It's one thing to like grab a microphone and stand up and get out at a protest and go, here. But ultimately that's resistant energy. And so what is it to lead? And for me, leading has become this embodiment practice of, if I'm the creative expression that I'm offering to people, if I'm making the music, if I'm being the artist, if I'm doing the things, then that example is going to be more powerful than me being like, you can be an artist, you can do what you want to do, you can shift what you want to. So yeah, I loved MITT. I loved Lifeboat, and I put it on my arm because it reminded me that I am the light. And like you said earlier, it's a process and it's forever evolving. And I think like finding the joy in that process has been kind of like the real juice, in that like it's never going to end, ever.
No doubt. And that's what we'll get into here today. And I actually want to back us up a little bit and understand who Zach, like what brought you to this place as well. And there's a quote by Brené Brown that I'll just mention. It's a good grounding for us in this conversation. And she mentioned, one day you will tell your story of how you overcame what you went through, and it will be somebody else's survival guide. So that is our grounding for the conversation here. And know that this will be, even just the conversation here is changing lives, but especially when people watch it and listen to it. But just us conversing, I believe, is also having an impact on how people show up every day. So with that, let me understand a little bit about Zach before I met you even too, because you mentioned before we even hit record here that you're from Minnesota, and I didn't realize that. I knew you weren't from Los Angeles originally, and I'm from the middle of Canada originally and lived in North Dakota and Iowa for a long time too. So very familiar with the dialect in that region. Got a lot of friends from there. It still peeks into my vocabulary every once in a while too, but what was it like, man, growing up as you, and how did you see that evolution that ultimately brought you to when you and I met in 2014?
Oh, man, that's such a big question. I can appreciate, you know, living in a northern climate, and I really enjoyed growing up. I was a big athlete growing up. I was a three-sport athlete in college and played professional basketball overseas. And so my mindset growing up was always one of success means defeating others. Success means beating the man across from you. And I was a good athlete. And so I really took on this mindset and adopted it kind of as this way to operate in the world. And so a large part of my path has been unwinding my own conditioning. And along with that comes the opening of the feminine energy within the masculine. For the first 27 years of my life, it was hyper-masculinity. It was kill or be killed. It was, I can only be successful if you're not, you know, a win-lose scenario, if you will. And through a lot of the work I've done, both in psychedelics and personal journeying work and just general softening and breath work, I've opened up the feminine, which is where the creative streams from. And finding that balance for all of us, I think, is a really beautiful journey and path that allows us to just catch wind of who we are. So on that path for me, I played pro basketball overseas. I came back. I almost worked in a law firm. I got into law school and was ready to take that route. Recognize that, like, I don't want to be in a law firm or a lawyer. Bless all the lawyers out there. Thank you for doing the stuff. And that I really wanted to go to LA and, like, just explore who I am and what I'm about. And so it was 2010. I came out to Los Angeles and I started acting and playing and singing and writing and just doing all of the creative things to open up my being, including like every religion I could find, every spiritual transformative thing I could find, every festival. I wanted my being to expand. And MITT was one of these places where one of my good friends, Mark Shapiro, had gone and he was getting over a divorce and he came out just lit up and creating and positive. And I was like, what'd you do? And he said, I did this program. And so that's why we ended up meeting in MITT. It was just like a natural extension of the expansion that was happening while I was in Los Angeles. And the training was profound. I like any of these emotional intelligence trainings from Landmark to, is it ACX? That Jenna and Brad are doing down in Austin.
Oh, yep. I can't remember what it's called exactly, but yeah, I'll find it and link it up here.
All of those. And then there's Chris Walker's doing one, Ascension in Ohio. It's like, it's really crucial to the waking up process, just in general, to know who we are, what our trauma is, and what's really going on inside of us. And when I say waking up, I want to be really careful because there's this whole like wokeness, sort of anti-wokeness going on. But when I say waking up, I think we're going through this process of what I call the spiritual awakening, where we're all waking up to ourselves and everybody else's as spirit. And so part of that is like focusing on the human trauma, the physicalness. And then part of it is getting to this like release of all of the trauma and creating the new world, which is part of what makes you such an incredible being, is just like the multiple things that you stand in creating every single day to bring people together to know themselves better. And I think that's like a key to our alignment and just general like relationship, is we're very much on like similar missions and paths.
Yeah, definitely. And I know I can relate a lot to your stories that you're telling too, because I've fought with great resistance the identity that I had up until the point that you and I met even too, because it was a similar story of being an athlete. And like with the hockey sports, it's literally fight or get beaten up, you know, like it was not metaphorically, it was literally. And that's that came with me in all aspects of life, including business, including relationships, including the way that I just conversed with people. And that was a big, awakening that I had to go through, was, conflict doesn't actually mean danger. It can actually just mean understanding, which, you know, that was like, what? Really? No, come on. It's either I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. Like, it can't be both. And it's only been the last like 9 months or so that I've really stepped into, I believe, some of the work that you began on back in 2010, even too, from the sounds of it, where you just start exploring and curiously just searching for answers. And then ultimately having somebody like Mark that's showed up in your life too, as with an energy. It wasn't probably even anything that he said. There wasn't some kind of a sales pitch to enroll you into the leadership program that we were a part of. It was just a feeling, right? You saw what he had become. And that, as an enrollment process in anything in life, including a shifting of consciousness on the planet, is a great, great example. You know, it's, you know, do the inner work, be the example, be the change, and others will follow. And those that don't, that's a lot of times, I think, what scares the shit out of people, you know, is like, well, what if certain people don't come with me on this journey? Family, friends, partners in life, even sometimes. It's, it can be quite scary, can it?
And it can be terrifying.
What do you do?
I think it's terrifying. I naturally think about that Joseph Campbell quote of the cave that you fear to enter contains the greatest treasure. And it's kind of like that. And during COVID, I've experienced a number of really interesting scenarios with family and otherwise. And I'm a pro breather. I'm a pro choicer. I'm a pro like live your own life and be a sovereign being and treat others with kindness, respect, and love. you know, and like beyond that, I don't think anyone should tell anyone what to do about anything.
as long as we're aligned.
Self-regulating beings. And just what you were speaking to earlier about your ability to navigate relationships from where you came from, of having there having to be a right and a wrong continuously. Whereas like what we're experiencing now, I think, is this information separation game where people are really standing on sides. And so I think where there's opportunity for expansion for all of us is learning how to navigate conversation when we know that people have opposing views to us, and how to relate on like a very human level to our, to what's similar between us, to our compatibility, to our similar vision, to our 99.99% similar DNA, to everything we hold in common, including our shared spiritual origins, as opposed to being like, you hold an ideology that you gain from X, Y, or Z source, and I have another ideology, and that means like I can't like you for some reason. Because that's just never the case. Like, we have so much more in common when we just like settle in and get past our need to be right and to be wrong. And especially as like large men, it's very easy to like stand in that bravado, that hyper masculinity, and be like, just kind of rest on the rightness. But it never actually feels good to rest in rightness. You know, let's say like, if it's, that's the Dale Carnegie thing, right? Like, if you prove somebody wrong, right, everybody's lowered in like a social context. If you just like destroy a person with information and they're like blatantly wrong, like you destroy them. Whereas like if you lift them up, if you find the truth in every little thing, you like raise them, everyone sees that you're able to navigate. Like it's these ways of how to connect without having to be right, because it's the rightness that separates us. It's the rightness that's the mind game and the separation game of thinking we're separate entities and thinking that any of us need to be above anyone else.
Yeah, I love that, man. And I was just trying to adjust my camera here because I've got these words on the wall here: be grateful, be curious, and be brave. And they are foundational to why I started this podcast, to be grateful for every conversation that I get to have because they're truly incredible. And to be curious about what others can possibly provide to me that would help me shift my beliefs. And then obviously to be brave to step into a space of, like you're just saying, you know, being willing to say, you know what, I hadn't thought of that perspective, and I'm going to dive deeper into that topic, whatever it might be. But the bravery thing, I think, is what really stands out the most, especially in this world that we live in now, is how can we be brave to be vulnerable, to be more vulnerable as men, especially even too in this world. I know I've been fortunate to connect with a lot of incredible men in the last year and a half, but it took bravery for me to even step into spaces like that, to meet other men that would speak in the way that you and I are talking right now. Cause a lot of times, and I know if, you know, we grew up with similar backgrounds, it was like locker room talk. It was like, it was not this. I was not having these conversations in 1997. I don't know about you.
How do you feel? Is at the core of all of it, right? Like, we've both been through the canned responses of how you're supposed to be with men, and like the machismo and the bumping and the hitting and the social posturing and jousting and all that sort of like who's who alpha. And like, it's all for naught because you're not connecting with what's really going on, which is once again through that feminine energy stream, the attunement to the self and to the emotion. Like, we can have a real conversation, and God bless us for both going through the process to get to a place where we can actually relate and communicate our real experience of life, as opposed to just running those games, because those games don't feel good either. And you've ran them, and I've ran them, and plenty of people have ran them. And when you're inside of those games, it feels like you're on autopilot and you're not actually the author of your own experience. And so, yeah, good on you and good on me, and not from arrogance, but like, nice job, brother. Well done.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned Joseph Campbell's quote there about the cave. There's in Brené Brown's new book, actually, too, Braving the Wilderness, she speaks about it in that same kind of terminology, just using a different reference of bravely stepping into the wilderness, that forest where at any turn you could be killed, right? Your brain could go, I may die here. If I say that thing out loud, I may die. If I do the wrong thing, I may die, whatever the case is. But when you actually step into it, on the other side is this magical place where people are actually expressing freely, where they are being creative, where they're dancing and they're happy. And you know what, you can picture it when you hear it, even on the audiobook, when you're when I was listening to it. And it actually was like a really profound analogy, a metaphor for what I've experienced even the last 9 months, when you start to reconnect with people like yourself, but then also meet new people too, where you're like, oh, you're in the tribe too. Awesome. All right, let's go play, you know? And that's actually a good transition into, I wanted to talk to you about that, because you and I have talked about consciousness and being very mindful in the moments. And I know you've really leaned into this in the last number of years and have made it part of your purpose to be able to support yourself, but then also to support others. And play is a big part of that, isn't it? It's right at the center point. Based on our last discussion, you even mentioned, like, I want it to feel like play. I want those mindful moments to feel like play. Do you want to maybe explain what you mean by that, so that people understand? Like, are we talking about like playing games, or are we talking about just that feeling?
It's like being the play. It's like embodying the play. And there's all sorts of quotes, if you play forever, you'll never have to work a day in your life, or whatever it happens to be. But the interesting thing about children and about adults and the difference in play is that adults need context to play. They need some sort of rules and guidelines, and then they can act within that freedom of imagination and joy if they're like this. Children just play. They're in play. They don't need a thing. They don't need to be like, okay, set up the scenario and now go play. They're like, here's my imagination, and now I'm a flying unicorn in a castle in Bolivia. You know, like, and they're just there, and they're like magic, and they got all their tools and doing their thing. So for adults, and part of this like waking up is getting back to that childlike innocence of existing in the vibration of play. Play, joy, creation, imagination, ecstasy, literally orgasmic sort of energy, which is what it is. It's like pure being in the creating energy of here's now. And it's why I picked up improv. And I've been freestyle singing, dancing, word rhyming for the last 10 years in LA, because I literally thought it was the scariest thing out there. And I wanted to bust open my own expansion, because I used to be very canned in my own speaking. And so I ran after it. And it's like this play vibration, which is terrifying actually to a lot of adults, to be able to like let loose the imagination, because what ultimately comes through in any play is the truth. And that's why it's so beautiful. It's the same as comedy. The funniest things are the truth. And if you're scared of getting your truth out there, then it's hard to play. Whereas like if you're free in your imagination, you have nothing to, you know, that nothing can be hidden anyway, then freedom becomes very free. I run a workshop called Divine Rhyme, which is a freestyle workshop. And every person who comes into it goes, that's terrifying. I can't do that. I can't freestyle. And every single person at the end takes 3 minutes. And after 2 hours of going through mumble rapping and awkward dancing and simple rhymes and the rest, everyone delivers the most beautiful, articulate expression of their truth that they may have ever done. I've had people thank me and say it changes their entire life. And what I'm really doing is just creating a space and an opportunity for people to step into and remember that they are that constant creative flow. Because we all are. But how often in our life, like, when do our bosses come to us and be like, do something really creative, like write a poem, like give me a jig, hey, you want to dance together? Like, that doesn't happen. But you know, so it comes down to, what do we do with our free time, with our leisure time? Because everyone has their jobs, everyone's busy, everyone has their lives, everyone's doing what they do. But in our extra time, are we watching the TV and zoning out and listening to somebody else's programming? Are we going to the bar and are we drowning ourselves and screaming at a sports game? Or are we connecting with people? Are we up leveling our creativity? Are we remembering who we are? And so that's kind of the game, is like one by one, like who's expanding, who's drawn towards it, and who wants in, and who wants to play in any which way. You know, rhyming is my little gift, my little corner, my little niche that I just picked up because I thought it was as far out as it could get. And it's become this thing where I like get to open people's vocal expression and just witness, whether they're artists or financial people or other professionals, like just to have the ability to remember that any expression is possible in any moment it allows us expansion in whatever part of our lives, because that's what it is. It's like, can we be honest with the here and the now, and can we have fun while we do it? You know, so that's kind of like the play, is just that honest freeness of beingness.
Yeah, the detachment from the labels too, right? Like I hear you say, like, you're the financial advisor, you're the realtor, you're the whatever. But at the same time, we're all kids inside, whether it's traumatic memories as a child or playful ones, ones where we're actually our true authentic self. And you actually just brought up a thought for me too, because I know we've talked about the rhyming, the spoken poetry, the divine rhyme and whatnot before too. And whenever I hear that too, I think, oh man, that would be a massive stretch for me. But at the same time though, there's a part of me now that is already graduated to the point of, okay, cool, let's go, you know? And I had to go through phases of building that muscle, I felt too. And, you know, cold plunging was a part of that. I'm not sure if we've talked about that before or if you've done it much yourself, but that was a physical reality of like, this is going to suck and I'm not going to enjoy this. That's my story, but I'm going to do it anyways. And then I do. And then you get out and you're like, whoa, you know, you just feel alive. It's the same feeling, isn't it?
It's the same feeling. And it's the same thing I say about meditation or yoga. It's like that slight pause before you go to work out or do something really good for yourself where you're like, I've never once regretted any meditation or yoga I've ever done. Ever. I've never got done with yoga and be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Has there been like a little bit of, yeah, maybe do I want to, whatever. But like divine rhyme does create a lot of anxiety. And I embrace it. And like, this is like, people are like, you shouldn't talk about the anxiety, but it's real. It comes up because we're literally focusing on the three biggest fears that exist in people's lives, which is public speaking, improvisational creation, and vulnerability and intimacy. Because you can't freestyle if you lie. You got to be true. And so it's like, here, take all of the three things and leap. And remember, not only that you can, but that you have been improvising your entire life with every conversation you've ever had, with every movement you've ever made. You've decided something separate from anything that's ever occurred in your life previous to that moment. And so putting it in that frame is like, life is an improv. Everything is constantly being made and remade and resituated and redone and rejuvenated, recreated, whatever it happens to be. And it's never the same twice. So when that's the first thing I start off with the workshop, and then people are like, oh, I do make up everything. And then like, once we remember that we are the creators and we've always been in our imagination, it's like that accountability thing, right? To know that our entire lives are our creation, and not to put or give away power with saying anyone else has done anything to me that has put me in any situation other than what I've asked for and what I have magnetized to myself. And so it's like the creative play space, I feel like I'm kind of selling it to, and I think everyone can use it, because what it does is it creates this wild remembrance of how infinitely capable we are in every moment. And everyone who's ever taken the workshop has thrived, and even like second language people and anyone who's come in just delivers beautiful like homes of the heart, which is really what it's all about, is like creating these magic spaces where we can be the beautiful creators we are.
Mm. Yeah, using the word creative and just creative expression as well too. About 9 months ago, I was working within the executive team of a company that I had sold my business to. And I knew I had hit a point where I was just not feeling inspired. And there was parts of it was just so misaligned. And I just knew that I need to take the leap outside of it. And when people would ask me, well, what do I want to do then? I would respond with, I kind of just want to float on my cloud and be creative. And you'd get blank stares. Like some people would be like, yes, yes. And others are like, what in the hell are you talking about right now? But it's that state that you're actually speaking about right now. It's stepping into the fear of the unknown, letting the imagination take over and actually not suppressing the creativity that's actually already within you. And I think we maybe talked about this on the last time we chatted of, does everybody have that within them? Is everybody creative? Is everybody a creative? I believe yes. What's your thoughts? Do you think everybody has this capability to actually tap into that inner child, that playful child, that creative, and get up on stage and speak their truth?
I think everyone is a divine being who has unlimited creative potential within them. Whether that means getting up on stage and delivering their truth, or painting, or dancing, or expressing it in any number of the mediums, we all have it in us in a different way. Am I capable of dancing across a stage in a tutu? Yes. Can I do that?
I've seen it.
Is it my best skill? Maybe not. You know, but like, yeah. I can do it. And it's the same thing with, it's like flexing any muscle. If I were to do ballet for 3 or 4 years, I'd be a much better ballerina than I am now. Whereas anyone getting up on stage, like if you've never done it before, yeah, there's going to be all sorts of stuff to like navigate through. Or maybe you're a savant and a total just natural speaker, and it works really well for you. But that's my experience, is it's just a matter of attention and energy and focus. And where we put that is where we hone our skills. And so we all have unlimited choices of how we want to express and how we want to dance and how we want to play. And yes, for sure, we are all that.
Yeah, I love that, man. And you actually reminded me the last time we chatted too of another example of that, part of the experience that we both shared together too, was to embody a persona that might actually stretch you out of your comfort zone. And for me, it was to actually truly believe that I was a fashion designer. And I still remember that. And I actually, I had forgot about it until you reminded me the last time we chatted. But I do remember that experience, though, of buying a 3-piece suit, shedding the jacket because the fashion designer wouldn't wear the jacket. They'd just wear the vest with the bow tie, and going to the mall in Los Angeles. And I can't remember exactly what I was instructed to do, but I believe I had to get people to sign a form that would advocate for me to be the next fashion designer on some made up TV show or something like that. And yeah. And I remember I got at least like 20 signatures on that thing in the hour and a half or so that I was roaming around this mall. And this is what you reminded me of, was I got invited to come and speak to a fashion school on my experience of being a fashion designer and being a potential candidate to be on this TV show. And it was just like, what just happened
just
here?
You decided, you know, that like, this is my reality, this is who I am, and this is what's going to play out and see where the scenario goes, without attachment, because you have no stories about being a fashion designer, right? Or anything that comes with it. And then all of a sudden, boom, yeah, you want to be on a show and talk about this thing, which you just decided you are. Power of the mind. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Intention, like you created it. Yeah,
that's it. It was intention, exactly. Focused energy. And I know it drives a lot of the work that I do now too, when I'm supporting people on actually following their true calling and really stepping into the highest version of themselves. A lot of times it's a massive stretch, a complete 180 from the current reality of their life. They may be that financial advisor, they may be even a successful entrepreneur, but know that their heart is actually somewhere else and they've been suppressing it for years and they haven't actually said it out loud. And that's, reminding me of that was just another confirmation for me. Like, yes, I am this person to actually elevate people to step into the version of themselves that already exists as soon as they say it does and they lean into it. And that's why I enjoy doing podcasts like this, because it's a reminder for myself. And when I tell people now, you know, my description of like, well, what do you want to do? I want to float on clouds and do my own thing. No, the truth is, man, I want to have conversations like this all day and share it with the world, because I know somebody's going to hear this and they're going to have the bravery to step into that thing that they know that they've been holding down and pushing down for years and years and years for whatever reason, you know? Money conversations, family pressures, all of the things that make us stop following our dreams. So, I'm just grateful for that, man. And obviously this is a huge part of the work that you've leaned into. Because when we started this conversation, you mentioned that you had that experience of everybody looking at you like, you are a leader. And then you going, yes, I am a leader. Let me go and stand on a mountaintop and tell everybody how to live their lives. And then you transition into being more mindful to look inward and to actually slow down a bit. You want to maybe speak about how that's shown up in your life, like the idea of, you know, you referenced the term, the daily moments, you know, and being in the quiet, mindfulness, meditation, breath work. I want to just give you the floor, man, to speak about what that actually means to you.
Interesting. So I'll just say that the ego is a slippery slope. And once you see some truth, you know, the ego will show up again and again until you can recognize it and either let it work with you or just ignore it and go by a more aligned sort of perspective. When we had taken the training, I kind of took some of my hypermasculinity and I put it behind like this goodness. So I was like, world peace, but I was like screaming it, which like screaming world peace is an interesting sort of contrast in itself. And like the journey of life and slowing down really is what it's been for me is finding this balance. And it's a balance in all things. It's a balance of feminine and masculine energy, of light and dark energy. In X-Men, they say your superpowers are found between rage and serenity. And so for me, that's like a plank. That's like breath in full mode and body fully activated. So my journey has been like a back and forth roller coaster journey of like this general teetering back to the center spot where it actually like feels good and grounded and also like lit to the openness of everything. So you mentioned the Daily Moment, which is a new website that I'm creating, which creates an opportunity for people on the daily to ground themselves in the remembrance of who they are. And it's kind of like this mirror meditation has been some of the most impactful meditation that I've done. And a lot of people who have done it say the same thing, but it's basically just you looking in a mirror. Because in my experience, I have the ability to lie to everybody except for myself. And I do my best. I don't consider myself a liar. I'm not like, I don't put people on. And I recognize that I have the ability to lie to anyone if I want to, other than myself. So when I stare at myself in the mirror, I get to really hold myself accountable. I get to see myself and I get to go, oh, am I judging myself? Am I looking for the blemishes? Am I looking at what's wrong? Am I looking myself in the eye? Am I feeding myself feedback? How am I being with myself? And back and forth inception forever. And so the Daily Moment is a space for people to have that honest reflection on the daily. And it starts off with a meditation and it's just 2 minutes. It's free to everybody. And then behind it is basically a one-stop shop for everything self-transformation, from clothing to food to resources to journaling to you name it. And it's kind of like, I feel like it's the Seinfeld of the internet, in that the purpose of the Daily Moment is to get people off of the internet. So it's an internet site encouraging people off of the internet, which I think the more time we can spend in real connection and in the real world and not on the social medias is ideal. And so that's what it encourages, is for each person into their own experience. And there's retreats and there's coaching and there's anything like any branch which you're like, I want to explore consciousness here. Like that's the place you can go to after being grounded. And I appreciate your feedback. You showed me how many wonderful things people are actually creating right now, kind of like in the similar vein and in the similar energy as the Daily Moment, of just spaces where people can go and tune into soul and tune into community and tune into who they are and walking their path. And we're both creators that are creating space for people to do that. And it's really fun and it feels effortless. Like as we dive into ourselves, it kind of feels like a natural iteration to give back and to create opportunity for people to walk some of the same paths we have. Knowing that our journeys are never going to stop ever, it never stops evolving, and to give ourselves credit enough to go, yeah, we have walked, we have done a good amount of work, and there's great value that we can provide people for them to walk as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we spoke about this too. I said it openly that, you know, speaking of the ego, as you start to go down this journey and you have ideas and you want to bring these gifts to the world and with no expectation in return. Ultimately, you know, that's why we're here, to serve, to be of service, is to just help raise consciousness, right? And then the 3D ego side goes, well, yes, but you need to create a business around it and you need to monetize it. And if I monetize it, then how could I possibly support that person that's doing something very similar? And I just bring that up because, you know, here we are speaking truth. I want to be transparent about all of it. I've sat with that very intensely for the last 6 months, because as you start to venture into this wilderness and, you know, push some branches out of the way and you're like, oh, there's my people. You realize that everybody's actually raising consciousness together. And now you have a choice. You can either try and be the person that is the person that will raise consciousness, or you can be a part of the tribe that is doing this. And guess which one actually raises consciousness faster and more effectively? It's the latter, by the way, anybody listening. And yeah, like I'm still in the middle of it too, because there's also the time conversation. I know you and I have talked about this too. Like there's a million things that you and I both could be doing on any given day. What is the right move? You know, what is the right next step to do? And I'd be curious to know actually kind of where you're at with that currently, knowing that we are evolving beings and you and I will do this conversation again, whatever, like 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, whatever it is. Cause that's part of the exploration for me. And the curiosity is like, how do people evolve from the conversation we have now to what they're able to create in 3 months and 6 months because of this conversation? So maybe just let everybody know kind of where you're sitting with that right now, as far as like your intention and what you know that you are. You crystal clear on what you are here to be, who you are here to be, and what you, who you're here to serve?
I love that question. Such a good question. So yes and no, you know, I have a sense of myself in my personal estimation of identity as an extension of source. And that is where I'm constantly leaning into, is that knowledge of myself. And I think that's the opening, is all of us remembering viscerally in our bodies, in our mind and in our souls, that who we are is spirit, right? So like, how do we shift that? How do we move into that? How am I moving into that? For me, I used to be a big time controller. And so I would have to plan, and like, I would come up with all sorts of plans for all sorts of things. And there's that great phrase, man plans, God laughs. And as you laugh, because you are God, we are God. And what I'm finding is most effective for me right now, and for the last 6 months or so, as I've been creating a ton of just music and rewrite on my book in this new business, is a release and a surrender and a receiving as my personal way to evolve. And the less that I attempt to control things, the more inspiration naturally comes to me. Whereas it's like to use the force, you can't use force. That's what it feels like. You need to like surrender control in order to allow the universe to flow through us. And so when I get inspired, when a song comes in or some lyrics come in, I'm like, boom, that's okay. Here's what I'm doing now. When a new thing about a new chapter, I'm like, oh, I got to write this. But that only comes when I'm in the receiving mode, which kind of brings it back to the feminine energy we're talking about, because the feminine is the receiving, whereas the masculine is like the penetrating and the destroying. A lot of times the feminine is the allowance and the opening. And when we can enter that energy, then like there literally is a never ending stream of creativity and play and joy and ecstasy and all the things that we love that's available to us. And so my real work right now is how open can I be in the receiving? How much love can I receive? My whole life, it's been like, what can I give? What can I give? How can I change? How can I fix the world? What entity? How can I be the person who raises consciousness and this and that? And I've just like, all it ever got me was just like forced projects. And for the last 6 months or so, I've kind of just like thrown up my hands and going, okay, what comes and what inspires is what I'm creating. And so I'm going to act for my creator instead of thinking that I have the answers for everybody else. And so it's been a real like softening and gentle process of allowing it to come instead of feeling like I have to force something or I have to take some action or I have to do something. And we get in that a lot of times of thinking that action's going to fix it. And in my experience, it usually just causes more problems and more just like tangles, unless we're coming from that aligned place with the ability to really receive inspiration. Because action from there is effortless and it just flows. And so, like, once again, entering that place of play and of flow and of release, surrender, and imagination has become everything. And the more I can do it, the more I feel myself releasing all sorts of old patterns. So that's where a lot of my focus is right now, and kind of what's moving the chains continuous is that level of surrender that I'm capable of.
I love that you spoke that out loud, man, because I can relate to that so much, to the idea of wanting to control and or be at the top of the mountain saying, up here, let's go, I found it, you know? And it's even when you get to the point where people follow, I find sometimes too, and then it just doesn't feel like satisfying. You go, where's the next mountain? And that's just... it's not a gratifying feeling
and that's
to actually, you know, be that person.
They've done studies, and I'm sure you've heard these, but like when you accomplish a thing and you get a car or a house or whatever, you get a 20-minute release of dopamine. That's it. And you feel happiness for 20 minutes. But like, if you ever got a new car, you know, after about a week, you're like, okay, it's a car and I'm driving this car around. Like, maybe if it's really nice, it's a dream thing, whatever. But the point is that, like, to wait in our lives for satisfaction for when things arrive is cheating ourselves of the opportunity for that great satisfaction and bliss in every single moment, because we can have that. We can live inside of it instead of this. I feel like sometimes happiness is set as this very low bar of like, what are you aiming for in your life? Like, I want happiness. First of all, like, happiness is an emotion. It's a feeling. It's fleeting. You know, and it's not the highest. There's joy, there's ecstasy, there's bliss, there's enlightenment, there's love, there's empowerment, there's all of these things like gratitude, all empathy, compassion, that like allow us to exist as a higher vibrational version of ourselves. And I don't know how happiness begins. Like, happiness is great. I think we should all like be able to experience happiness and tune into that whenever we want. It's important to be able to vary our experience. But how happiness got set as this, like, you have the right in this country to pursue happiness. Like, right there. Like, just cut it at happiness. And, like, you can go after that, but anything past that, like, that's all you get. And so people aim for this happiness, and sometimes it becomes a justification of, like, yeah, I'm happy. And what people are really thinking of in that moment is like the couple of moments in between all of their anxiety where they can take a deep breath and just go like, oh, I can feel normal for a second. They call that happiness and say everything's all right. But like when we actually take the time to tune in with ourselves, like a lot of us are running our wheels and really existing in these vibrational states of dis-ease that affects our health and our mental well-being and our attunement to soul and our life experience. And so like, that's the work that we've done and that I think everyone is doing now, whether it's breath work or yoga or consciousness meditations or expressions. Like, this is the really exciting part of like the awakening, is like meditation is the real like inner part of like, I can find it and clear the mind. But then these play places are like the excited interactive spaces of the enlightenment. It's like, how do we get back to play with each other as children in innocence, learning to trust each other in space so that we can become self-regulating beings and create the utopia of peace on earth through creating it in ourselves and like the spaces around us. So that's my solution to the world. And I'm just gonna need like an army and minion. It'll be great.
Well, and that's why these conversations matter. Again, that's why I do the podcast, right? We're not here to pitch a book. We're not here to pitch a website. We're not here to pitch anything. We're here to just have the conversation that helps raise that consciousness, knowing that we are just one little piece of the puzzle that somebody else will pick up on and go, I'm kind of digging that vibe. I think I'll go down that path. And I wanted to mention this actually too. And then I got one more question for you, but I was on a call last night actually with a group of men that get together every single Monday. And one of the guys there expressed that he's been I don't even want to say dealing with, but he's been faced with MS in his life now for about 20 years, I believe. And he at one point said that he had to uncouple from expectation, and he said it with a sadness that just felt very, degrading. It felt like just demoralizing, right? And what he was referring to was, you know, what he had done in the past, like say in his career, he wasn't able to do because his brain wasn't working in that way anymore. And when I heard him say that, though, I actually thought to myself, wait a second, that's actually what I'm trying to do every day, is uncouple from expectation. So I immediately Googled it. I was like, uncoupling from expectation. And I found this article. I'm just going to read one line from it, but the title of it was Enlightened Consciousness, Letting Go of Attachments and Expectations as Distinct from Plans. And then the quote is, fear, doubt, and worry are the last things you want to experience in the process of manifesting desires. That is why the best way to create what you want is through detachment. And I remember reading that last night even and thinking, oh my gosh, there's another level for me. It was the complete detachment from expectation. Now, that doesn't mean to just be, you know, well, whatever is, and law of attraction. It's like, no, there's still a focused, committed action part of this. You still get to sit down for the daily moments and make the time to go within. But what comes up for you when I say that, man? I heard a deep sigh there.
just the attachment of expectation on things. You brought me to another level, because I've given up all of my things in life. I've seen non-attachment as like a very powerful tool for knowing who I am and in the grander scheme, who we are in the grander scheme. And expectations are hard to let go of. Like, I'm with you, and I'm a bit more on like the energetic side of law of attraction, and for like, once you enter that space of the reality that you want to be in, like, yes, you need to sit down, you need to do the work, always the action. But if you do that action from like, I need to do it versus like, I know this is happening, I'm already in it, I'm already in the vibrational space of it being happened and already taking place and being successful. And then when you create from that space, just there's a flow to it. As opposed to, so it's like, what comes first, chicken or the egg? Like, both need to be done, energetic alignment and action. And it's a lot of Abraham Hicks teaching. I've been digging her as of late. And it's just getting in that energetic space and then allowing it to come. And she talks a lot about the release of expectation as well, because it's the man plans, God laughs thing. Like, it shows up in ways once we start creating, and collaborations and synchronicity of people you meet, and just like the universe folding and unfolding and showing itself in the perfect way and gift in every moment when we're open to it. Once again, it's that receiving thing. It's like synchronicity. And this is Carl Jung. He says synchronicity is a never ending phenomenon with those with eyes to see. And so if our eyes are open to the interconnectivity of the world, which really is only possible through the feminine receivership of like really seeing what is what is, then all of the blessings can show up. Then we can see how infinite and never ending the stream of synchronicity and interconnectivity is, because in this walking each other home, it's happening all the time, and it's happening now, and it always has been happening and always will be happening. But in order to enter that stream, like, we do have to surrender and let go, and not to bring it all the way back, but like, as men, that's a really difficult thing, to let go of control and to surrender. And I'll just for a minute say that, like, I've also been working with plant medicine for a number of years, and there's like a rising in consciousness with plant medicine and the psychedelic revolution going on, and the decriminalization and the legalization in Oregon. And if I know anything about psychedelics, which I've been working with for 15 plus years, it's that surrender is everything, and surrender is the key to the kingdom of heaven. Because when we give up our illusion of control, what's available for us is, call it spirit, God, universe, Garden of Eden, zero point energy field, use your term. That's what exists, and what every enlightened master and now physicist and person says is like at the end waiting for us. So like, how do we activate and enter that space if we know it exists, if it's been given to by every single like great mind of all time? And it's through surrender, it's through that let go, and then it's never ending and just like a fun stream of what do we want to play now.
I love this conversation, man. It's I just published an episode on my podcast last Friday, actually, with Craig Garden is his name. He's the CEO founder of a company called Aversio, which there's Aversio Wellness, which is functional mushrooms. And then there's Aversio Labs, which is doing testing on the psilocybin side of things, the psychedelic side, right? And he actually spoke about that in the interview, saying there's no such thing as a bad trip. There's just a resistance to what is and a need to surrender. And I was like, oh, an damn, that hits home.
An opportunity to surrender.
Yeah, an opportunity to surrender. And, you know, for everybody, that'll bring up different emotions and different thoughts, too, because the conversation that we had was, yeah, I remember the last time I did mushrooms, man, back in high school. By the way, mom and dad, I did some mushrooms in high school, and it was not an enlightened experience.
I went to some concert or some party, and I didn't set my setter setting, and nobody was showing me how to use the medicine, and I wasn't attuning to my breath, and I wonder why things went awry and crazy. So just to set the record straight, there's like taking the medicine out recreationally in a party sense, which a lot of people do, and they have weird trips, and you're going to have weird trips if, because set and setting is everything, like your mindset and then the setting, your environment. If you set the setting and do it in a ceremonious, ritualistic sort of way, you'll have the most beautiful experience, moving, profound time that you've ever had in your entire life. And most people experience and report that back, Steve Jobs including, in a number of other people. And so like this revolution is getting out of this association with plant medicine as like getting fucked up at a party or drunk or getting out of it. This is really like tuning up our vibration and our consciousness to the plane of spirit, and all of us remembering that. And that's why like highness is this funny thing, like people are like, I got high, and it's like this advent. But I think highness is just like literally like the higher you are, the more attuned to the vibration of the universe that you happen to be. And psychedelics are just a 6 to 7 hour window that allow us to see that and remember that. And then it really is an integration process into our life to remember it in everything we do. So yeah, bless psychedelics.
Yeah. And I'm early on the journey of that for the simple reason of what you've expressed a few times here already today, which is a desire to control. Which the more I speak about this topic and I talk to people that are creating the set and setting to do these kind of things, to tap into spirit, they literally say that that is the thing that will cause you to not actually have the experience that you're supposed to have, is that desire to not surrender, up the control.
You're right on. And if you have a quote unquote bad trip, every experience you're supposed to have. Right. There's no experience we're not supposed to have. Every experience is like perfect as it is. To have like the ideal blissful plant medicine ceremony experience, yes, the more surrender that you can exercise, the more that the veil will be pulled back and the bliss of the infinite will be revealed to you as you, through you. And so it really is it's just a level thing of like how able are we to surrender what control we think we have, and our attachment to our identity as doctor, lawyer, father, person, physical being, in order to remember who we actually be as the infinite divine souls and energy that we are inhabited in physical bodies. And so it's like just this beautiful track that allows us all, because everyone's always like, what's the point of all this? Why should I do a spiritual thing? Whatever, whatever. And what I keep getting back to is like, the only reason we need police right now is because not every single human being is able to self-regulate, right? And we saw this during the pandemic and the riots and all sorts of stuff. Like, given the opportunity, people will still rape, pillage, steal, and like do quote unquote bad things. What psychedelics do is they allow us to dissociate from our separate identity and to start associating with our aligned oneness identity. And once we do that and we recognize that we're all a part of it and everyone else is an extension of ourself, it becomes literally impossible to do harm to any other human being, any other living being. And so when we get to these spaces and when we integrate it, we're taking steps, incremental, little, seemingly nominal, but really powerful, impactful, just in the field steps towards being a self-regulating, peaceful, loving society. And so like all of these spaces that you and I experienced growing up as men, needing to win and needing to covet and needing to grab and needing to have and destroy and like beat, psychedelics take the edge off and they allow you to like find peace within yourself, which ultimately moves the chain for all of humanity.
Hmm. We're going to have to revisit this conversation because, as you know, I'm moving to Costa Rica, which puts me very close to a lot of these experiences if I choose to go
I'm coming to Costa Rica and you're doing mushrooms in the jungle.
Yes, there we go. Oh, that brings up all kinds of thoughts in my head, but I'm going to sit with that and say, yes, of course we are. I got one question left for you, man, and it's something that I like to end with because it just puts us into the right space, the right energy, and that is, what is the one thing that you are most grateful for in this moment right now?
My breath. My breath allows me to stay aligned, which keeps me on focus and on track. It reminds me of the infinite availability of the now. And allows me to serve and be love, be connected, and be my full embodiment and incarnation.
And sing opera if I want to.
Yes. Perfect answer. There's no wrong answer with that one. But man, I love that you went there. And I got to say, too, the last, I believe, 4 out of the 5 interviews that I've done, 4 of those people have said breath. And that, I believe, is on purpose as well, too. You know, the people that I've been attracting into my life realize that it doesn't need to be this big, profound thing or some outward relationship that we have that we get to be grateful for. It can be the simplest of things of I'm alive and I can breathe and I have the ability to regulate myself at any given moment.
That regulated.
So thank
you. Yeah, man. That regulated nervous system is everything. When we can stay in that calm, relaxed, attuned to breath place, anything is possible. And it's just like fluid and it's easy and it's open and it's transparent and it's loving. Whereas like, if I can just give anyone anything, and if 4 people have said it, you heard it, but like deep breaths, focus on feeling good inside of you before anything else, because that's where all the change happens. And like, if you can feel good and vibrate on a high plane, you can create anything you want.
Beautiful. How can people connect with you, my friends? Where can they find out about what you're up to?
Yeah.
Be closer to you.
I'm on Instagram. I'm shifting away from social medias, but I still use my Instagram. Zach Pucktel is on Instagram. And I've been doing some vocal activation things as of late, as someone's knocking on my door. Yeah, you can.
Perfect timing.
So, thank you. And so I've been doing some vocal activation for anyone who's looking to express and be open and open up their throat chakra. And don't let it sound too woo. It's really just about you being able to say anything you want at any time. And we all have that ability. So if you're interested in opening up your expression creatively and work in relationship, whatever it happens to be, I offer those services as well.
Amazing. I will link all of it up so that we can connect more people that are out in that wilderness with us, and we can have that dance party and speak our truth out into the open. So thanks for doing this, brother. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you
as well, Trevor. Thanks for the time, energy, blessings, love.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Trevor Turnbull Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please consider subscribing on my YouTube channel as well as on your favorite podcast platform. So until next time, remember, today is a beautiful day of opportunity. Trust that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So be grateful, be curious, and be brave.